Hey, Pathway family. I am coming to you today from where I will see you next week. And I cannot tell you how excited I am. I'm glad that we will finally get to be back in the same room together. Just to have the energy of all of us together will be amazing. And I can't wait for that. I just want to say thanks. Thanks for continuing through the last 6 months of being together online and still remaining family and community. It says a lot about who you are. It says a lot about who we've become as Pathway, and it says a whole lot about who God is in our moments of life like this. And so for that, I say thanks. And I cannot wait to see you next week. Much love.
So here in the dark, broken apart, come with your light and fill up my heart. Oh, great light of the world, fill up my push us around, folding us up, backing us down. But here in the dark, I'm not alone. So come with your strength, carry.
Singing harmony with her on this, remember? You got it?
Got it.
Oh, it's capo 3. Where's my capo?
Carla would appreciate a capo, I'm sure.
Hi, Pathway family. I'm looking for my capo. I spend half of my life looking for my capo. You hunt for your contacts, I hunt for my capo.
I've been a victim and a villain.
Hey, Pathway. This is Wendell. This is our last virtual Pathway. Thank you, Jesus. I love to meet you this way, but I'm tired of this. I'm tired of Zoom rooms. I'm tired of the virtual realm. I need to see you in person, even if it's just this much. I need to see you. Next Sunday, we will be together in the sanctuary. You can get there 20 minutes early. Service starts at 6, ends at 6:30. We will all come through the door to the Welcome Center where the men's restroom, that side, park over in the parking lot in front of the church offices, that one, and come through that door. Only one door comes in, and we'll exit by a door up in the front in orderly fashion, and you have to wear a mask the whole time you're in the building. But I will be emailing you and contacting you with details and regulations and guidelines that we'll all follow. We're going to make this happen, and we get to be together. This is going to be so good. I'm looking forward to it. I know you are, too. Anyway, I'm not with Lewis tonight, but he is doing the greeting, and I think it's fitting that you hear his voice the last night of Virtual Pathway, because literally for the past several months, Lewis has been the glue that has held all this together and made it all happen every Sunday night. And how can we say thank you to him for all this? Because he's done it on Sunday morning for the rest of the church as well. So thank you, Lewis. Thank you for all you've done. And plus he sings in the band. He's just done so much. So thank you, Lewis. You are a true brother, a gentleman, and a scholar. So I'm Wendell. I'm living loved by Jesus and in a pretty good place these days emotionally. Have my moments, but I'm in a pretty good place. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to food and work and control. And I've had issues with porn and alcohol and rage and panic attacks and some depression. So that's me. So as promised, this week's blog was about puppies. Last week it was hummingbirds. This week it's puppies. When we get back in person, who knows? Kitties, butterflies, don't know. Anyway, so I wrote a blog about puppies. And what is it about puppies? I mean, kittens are the same thing, but we love puppies. We love kittens. Puppies have that breath. It changes when they get older, but puppy breath is just, ooh, angelic. Got those great big eyes, got the wiggle tails, got the little sniffy nose, and just wiggling all the time and wanting to be petted and held. And oh, we just love them. And we love them knowing that along with all that good stuff comes the waiting on the floor, crying all night, tearing up our best pair of sneakers, expensive trips to the vet. We know all that. And yet we adore puppies. And you ask why, and it's, well, because they're never anything but puppies. They're just who they are. And this week's lesson is about hypocrisy. So let's just get that out there. So we love puppies because they are who they are. No posing. They just are who they are. They get older as dogs, and then they learn to puff up and bark loud, and, you know, they learn to pose. But puppies, no posing. Just who they are. Thinking about several places in Scripture that exhibit posing. I look at David in the Old Testament. He was a remarkable person. He loved God with all he had. He saw God everywhere he looked, in the trees, in the rocks, in the birds, in the sunset. He talked to God constantly, sang to God constantly, trusted God with all his heart, worshiped God with all his might. God's coming home in the box, in the ark. David strips down to his BVDs and dances. Just so uncomely for a king. His wife told him that, but he didn't care. God was coming home. He was ecstatic. But he could be a booger. He saw a lady taking a bath one night and said, I want her, took her, impregnated her, and to cover his tracks, he had her husband killed. Yeah, That's not just naughty, that's criminal. Any court of law, he wouldn't have survived. But it's interesting, in his story, God never withdrew from David. God stayed tight with David the whole time. And he suffered the consequences of his poor decisions. But he never lost touch with God, and God never lost touch with him. And in fact, in the big story of Scripture, it said that he was a man after God's own heart. How can this be? The only conclusion I can come to, and maybe you come to a different one, but the one I come to is that David was just David. He never tried to be anybody but who he was. No posing, no trickery, no faking, no, you know, extra fig leaves to cover this or that up. He was David. You skip over into the New Testament in the big story, and you see Jesus in his dealings with the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus didn't have a problem with the hookers and the tax collectors and the winos and the Samaritans and the lepers and, you know, the people that everybody else looked down on. He didn't have a problem with them. He loved them. He hung out with them all the time. It was the religious leaders that he routinely pushed back against. But he always did it in a very gentlemanly and diplomatic way. He would ask the hard questions, but he didn't bristle. He didn't raise his voice until his last trip to Jerusalem, where he got on the temple steps, especially in Matthew's account. And he just unleashes, yells at the Pharisees and scribes. I mean, he really turns up the decibels. And the issue every time, I mean, he says, woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you. Every time he said, you hypocrites, woe unto you hypocrites. He said it over and over and over. He could not abide by their misrepresentation of themselves. And so I have to ask the question across the board, the way I feel, the way you feel, the way God feels, the way Jesus felt, the way we would all agree, we're not big on hypocrisy. We all love puppies because they're who they are. God loved David because he's who he was. Jesus had a hard time with the Pharisees because they weren't who they said they were. They were whitewashed tombs. They were dangerous people trying to look all righteous and good. So why, what is it about hypocrisy that is so off-putting to all of us? I mean, everybody, we just don't feel good about it. And I think, to me anyway, is I can only relate to a person I truly know. If I want to relate to them on a friendship level, on a cooperative level, on a trusting level, I have to know them. And I have to know the real version of them, not just the version they are presenting to me, but who are you at your core? Then we could proceed. If I start detecting camouflage, if I just start detecting a sleight of hand or fig leaves or whatever term works for you, I start tapping my brakes. I start thinking, I would pursue this friendship, this relationship, but I'm not for certain who I'm relating to here. So I don't know where to go with this. I don't, you know, it gives me pause. So that's kind of the core of it. And that got me thinking, why is hypocrisy something not just that we kind of avoid if we find it in somebody else, but we find it objectionable and we find it off-putting? There's a difference between just wanting to avoid something and finding it off-putting, okay? One's a little more grievous than the other. So I just started pondering that, and I came up with three ideas. Can't make that finger lay down. I came up with three ideas. Right or wrong, they just went through my little lame brain, and I wanted to share them with you. But they deal with my with you, and they deal with God, and they deal with myself. All three relationships, with you, God, and me. And so first is, When I am hypocritical with you, when I don't show you my true self, I'm actually disrespecting you. I am either saying I don't trust you enough to show you the real version of me. I don't trust you, so I'm not going to show you who I really am. Or I think I'm so smart and you're so stupid that I can get you to buy the ruse, the fakery, the posing. I'll get you to buy the fake version of me. That's how stupid you are. That is disrespectful. And so I'm expecting you to relate to some contrived version of me. It's unfair. It's disrespectful. You can't build a relationship on that with anybody. And yet we have marriages like that. We have business partners that are like that. We live in a world where everybody's trying to do this and it doesn't work. And I think at the core, the reason it doesn't work is because it's so disrespectful of the other person. Well, it's also disrespectful of God, that God had a version of me in mind when he created me. When the sperm hit the egg and I was created in the womb, and God said, I have an idea of who I want this person to be. And if we go back to Genesis, when he has that idea, he said, it's very good. It's very good. When he made Adam and Eve in that story, very good. He said everything else was good. He said, that was very good. So when he makes you and me, he says, that's very good. And so when I try to be some alternate or improved version of my essential self, who God made me to be, I'm telling God, I disrespect your effort. I'm overshooting good and heading toward perfect. So I disrespect your effort. I disrespect your design, your creativity. I'm either smarter than you, or I'm more ingenious than you, whatever it is. But it's, you can see, it's disrespectful of God when I play the hypocrite. And essentially, and probably this is where we all live, and we need to deal with this first. It's disrespectful to me when I play the hypocrite, when I try to put out some kind of fake persona of myself. Because basically what it's doing is it is squashing that desire in me that wants to be loved for who I really am. Not the fake version, but I want somebody to love me, warts and all. Could you please do that? So when I play the hypocrite, I'm stifling that. And really it's my higher nature. If you think about this, it's my higher nature that wants to be loved for who I am. It's my lower self-protective, childish nature that says, no, I'm ducking for cover here. My primary goal in life is to be safe and to be comfortable. And in order to do that, I have to duck and dodge. I have to hide. I have to put on some sort of camo so you can't see who I really am. So it's letting my lower nature rule my higher nature, which is disrespectful. So disrespectful of myself. So when you look at this whole big picture of hypocrisy, this is who we are in Pathway. We have two core values. One is to be real, and the next is to be loved. And I don't know how to love you unless you're real, because I don't know how to love the fake version of you. Nobody in Pathway knows how to love the fake version of you. So that's why we celebrate when somebody's honest. Even if they're honest about their failures, we celebrate that. We don't celebrate the failure, we celebrate the honesty. Because now we have something real to love, someone real to love. Because we know your strengths and we know your weaknesses. We know your successes and we know your failures. And guess what? You're getting a hug. You're going to be loved. So the first thing that we have to do in recovery is to be real. I admitted I was powerless over my addictions and compulsive behaviors, and my life had become unmanageable. That's getting real. That's getting honest. And so until we do that, we're stuck. We can't go any further. So that's why we need to talk about hypocrisy and Pathway. because it's the very opposite of what we want to be. We've lived life in the hypocritical lane. Now we want to drive in the real lane, the honest, the authentic lane. That's what recovery's about. So, and when you think about it, maintaining your fig leaves is so stressful, and so it saps your energy. I got to be such and such a person around them, and I got to be another person around them, and I got to remember what stories I've told them, and so I get them straight, and then what stories I've told them. It wears you out. I mean, you can't thrive in life. You can't have a vision of what life could be as long as you're just trying to maintain this ruse. You can't juggle that many balls in the air. You can't do it. So we're fixing to get back together face to face. It'll just be half a face, but we're getting back together face to face. And I hope that when we do, we bring the living room version back in. We've always done that. That's the way we do Pathway. We've always done that. We may have some newcomers next week in the sanctuary, and they're going to be watching us, the old guard of Pathway. They're going to be watching us, and some of them are going to be very attracted to our authenticity and our realness. Others are going to be like, whoa, I don't know that I signed up for this. Be patient with the hesitators, and welcome the others. Come on in, be part of the messed up family, because that's who we are. But anyway, it's been good, kind of, not really, being with you this summer virtually. At least we had this, if we didn't get together in person. But next time you see my face, hopefully it'll be in person. I'll see your face in person, and we will have a grand old time. It's going to be 30 minutes, the best 30 minutes that you could possibly imagine. Anyway, let's say the serenity prayer together. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, and the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to tell the difference between the two. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I can be reasonably happy in this life and then supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. Keep coming back. God loves you, and I love you, and we will see you in person next week.